Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Ken down at Hayward Bay and Bottle, and then we talk in depth on fishing electronics with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get on the water today with the Lund Catch of the Year at Hayward Power Sports. We have Lunds in stock, rigged and ready with Mercury outboards. Save $1,000 on a 1650 Angler SS, $2,500 on a Lund Impact, or a whopping $3,000 on a 1975 Pro V Sport. Lund features boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. And no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Hi, this is Ann the Tool Girl from M&M Rental. Here at M&M Rental, we have it all for you do-it-yourselfers and contractors. Concrete tools, metal brakes, man lifts, log splitters, skid steers, and everything you'll need for excavating and trenching, plus much more. And for fun on the water, we have jet skis, ski boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, kayaks too. From lawn care equipment to tools and sporty goods, we have it all and we deliver. Give us a call at 634-3146. M&M Rental, located on Highway B, Hayward.
We're talking to Ken down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Ken, been a little while since we've had you on the show here. You've been too busy working or fishing. What are the other?
Traveling, fishing, working.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the fall fishing. I mean, obviously, we've had some really big temperature drops in the water in the last few days as we're speaking here.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, it was like in the 80s, and the water temp was probably in the low 70s. Now it's probably at around 64.
Yeah, I've seen actually 60 degrees on some of the smaller lakes, and it's ridiculous. You know, we recorded this a week ahead of time. But, you know, as far as the fishing down here at the store, what are you hearing? Are you hearing to get any walleyes yet?
Walleyes have been pretty good. They've been using jig and walleye suckers anywhere from 22 to 35 feet. I think it's the deepest I heard them catching them. But with today's technology, even with Cynovans, you can get on some of those hard bottom flats and find them. And
you bet. Well, I was using live scope and live sonar once I got on them the other day on one of the lakes. And, you know, you could watch them bite. I mean, it's pretty easy to pick out the fish you want to get almost.
Yeah, I took a group out last year, and I told him, well, you got to bite like 3 seconds before he felt it on his rod, and we were in 38 feet.
Yeah. Well, I do the same thing when I'm pan fishing. You know, I mean, you're going to set the hook. As the fish taking your line sideways, you can actually see the fishing line, 4-pound fishing line on some of that sonar. It's that sensitive.
Yeah, it's almost cheating to a point.
You bet. Well, you know, but you still, most people don't really get the full potential out of any of the sonar they've got, because it takes a learning process, and you got to learn it. You got it. Number one, you got to have it set up right. You know, we're going to be talking about that with Bill Kutka in the second part of the show here, but, you know, it actually makes a difference.
Yeah, even with LiveScope, you know, as far as Garmin's product, you can use your color gain along with your other settings, and you can see your lure out at 80 feet.
Yeah, and the new LiveScope Plus, I see stuff well over 100 feet out. It's just got an increased range. But, you know, let's talk about the fishing again. As far as the other fishing, panfish, I know I've been doing really good on the crappies, and I've been getting good reports everywhere on panfish, crappies, and bluegills.
In the afternoon, when that sun gets bright in the sky, a lot of the panfish are going to move up right on top or on the top edge of the weeds.
Yeah, and they move up high over the cribs and the ones in deep water, too. And I know I'm going to start using minnows a little bit more now, but I've been using nothing but Berkeley Gulp
gulp of live minnows, and they seemed to catch them on that. But I was out the other day, and they kind of were, they want to look at the walleye suckers, but they're too big for them, of course.
Yeah, there always is a good plastic bite, but when the water temp gets below 60, it seems to be a better minnow bite.
You know, in the wintertime, we use a lot of minnows on them. How about musky fishing? You heard much on that. That was a little bit on the slow side, but it should be starting to pick up right now. I know they had that youth musky hunt thing on Moose Lake the other day. They caught a lot of, quite a few fish. It was down from previous years. Of course, the attendance was down, number of kids out there. But the fish all seem to be smaller fish.
Well, with the late spring, lack of weed growth, high temperatures for, you know, up to like 2 weeks ago, the muskies seem to have less areas to roam, so they stay put where all the food congregates. Now, when the water temp drops, you know, they'll be a little more aggressive.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of food, the food just should start to taper off a little bit now. But, you know, it was just a week or so ago we had bugs hatching out there yet. I mean, there's been a tremendous amount of food and forage in these lakes. We talked about this many times on the show, but that actually makes the fishing tough. Fish, they eat a lot because their metabolism's up, but it's all over with. Wham, bam, they get their dinner and they're done for the day.
Yeah, you can use your electronics to see if the hatch is going on a lake. For instance, if you could turn your gain up so you can really see the thermocline. Now, if you're seeing where it, you know where the thermocline is and it's pretty busy underneath you and above, you know that there's an insect hatch going on the lake.
Yeah, you know, and something I'll add in right now, too, is we get to this time of year, if you think you're seeing a whole lot of bait fish in the water, you might be seeing leaves because the leaves show up as little fish in the water a lot of times. So the leaves start to sink.
Yeah, so especially this time of year, you get on the windy side of the bank and LiveScope just picks them up real easy.
You bet. How about bass fishing? I know you spend a lot of time bass fishing. You've won some pretty nice tournaments over the years. Let's start out with largemouth. Anything going on there you heard?
Weed lines are pretty good. You know, there is some deep cribs that will hold them, both largemouth and smallmouth, but mainly try to find the greenest weeds and areas where it has a lot of bait. And I like throwing a jig on them, or, you know, jig worms work really good too, especially this time of year when the weeds, dying weeds, seem to settle on the bottom of the lake. A lot of fish will suspend along, you know, the weed line.
You see, I've seen this, but if you see times when largemouth, if you got some weeds, especially if there's rock there, they seem to go toward rock a little bit more?
Yeah, they do. Crawdads are probably both smallmouth and largemouth, one of their favorite foods. And the crawdads, you know, they ain't going to migrate down to the muck until probably right around ice. Yeah. But if you could use electronics and find those bare areas up on the rocks, for instance, like cabbage grows on a harder bottom than water milfoil, so you could find cabbage, water milfoil, and bare spots, you kind of found a little honey hole.
And you mentioned smallmouth, and this is one of my favorite times to go after a big smallmouth. You can catch some really big fish.
Well, even 2 weeks ago, the topwater bite was starting, you know, certain barometer. Topwater is usually always barometer driven, but towards the fall, it seems like high sun triggers a topwater and a spinnerweight bite, especially for smallmouth.
What depths are you looking at them now? The ones I've been finding are still pretty deep.
In some of the clear waters, they are pretty deep, but, you know, like on the flowage, they're going to probably be 10 feet and less. Lacuta ray, you can find them from 3 feet all the way to 18, 19 feet on the deep weed lines. And now is the time of year where spinnerbaits work good on Lacuta ray.
You know, I've had some southern bass fishermen make a comment that fishing on the flowage is, whether it's Moose Lake or the Chippewa flowage or whatever, fishing the smallmouth in those lakes is more like fishing largemouth than it is smallmouth, because most of the time of the year they are shallower.
Especially this year, due to the fact is that the water on the flowage was lower than average for the last previous 5 years. So it pushed a lot of that inside weed line, stumps, hard bottom areas up shallow, and the smallies just moved to the deeper edge because that's where all the bait is.
I know they'll actually get on live bait here at some point. When do you think that'll happen, where the live bait, sucker metals and stuff will start being more effective on smallies than plastics will?
I think it's going to start after the next few days. Of course, we're going to have in the lows in the 20s.
You bet. Yeah. Yeah, Ken, I know you guys are all equipped here at the shop. You got just about everything anybody needs for fall fishing and also for bow hunting and for hunting season, which are underway now.
Yeah, John has been pretty busy replacing new strings. There seems to be a wave of everyone getting out and doing more deer archery this year.
You bet. Well, you know, and I think that's going to continue here. We're still early into the archery season. I don't get going. I'm usually too busy fishing until I get to the end, middle to the end of October sometime. Then I start seriously thinking more about it. Anyway, you guys got all that stuff in here and a lot of source of information, and you help people out if you can, if they're looking for a place to go fishing or some tips on a lake.
We try to do the best we can.
You bet. Well, thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking all about fishing electronics with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also have a great selection of tree stands, camo, ammunition, scents, hunting supplies, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Sea-Doo pre-order sales event is on at Hayward Power Sports. The best way to guarantee a new 2023 for next year and the only way to get the Sea-Doo RXPX Apex 300 Exclusive Edition. As a bonus, you'll get 2 years of BRP warranty coverage for free. Whether you're looking for a traditional Sea-Doo personal watercraft or a Sea-Doo switch pontoon boat, this is the best way to get what you want. Or we still have a few 2022 models in stock that offer no payments and no interest financing for 6 months. See Hayward Power Sports today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we had Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka on here talking about fall fishing. We've got him on again this week, but this week we're going to be talking all about fishing electronics and how the electronics that we have available today can make you a better angler and help you catch more fish when you're out there in the lakes. We're talking again to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka, who's actually fished a lot of pro walleye tournaments over the years. And Bill, you know, we mentioned on another show here electronics and how key they are to finding fish. And it's getting to be more and more intense as far as the electronics we have available to us out there and how effective they can be.
Oh, for sure. You know, I thanks, John, again, for having me. I really appreciate it. But electronics are my, you know, my eyes to my boat. I'm blessed to be supported by Lowrance. I run the HDS 12 Lives. I've got two up on my bow, two on the dash, and I also installed one back by my live well for when I'm trolling. And also have the active target mounted up on my Altera trolling motor with Cornfield Crappie. Actually has a third-party or aftermarket ability for the, you know, retracting trolling motor, so I can put it right on my trolling motor.
Well, you know, and there's a wide range of stuff out there from different companies, but the big three are your Humminbird, your Lowrance, and your Garmin now, and they're all pretty competitive as far as stuff. And if you go out there and start looking at boats in the country, actually even some of the pros out there will run multiple different brands in the boat, depending on what the availability and stuff is. You know, a lot of the guides up here run Humminbird. I've had Humminbird stuff for years. It's really good stuff. I did run Lowrance in the past years ago. And then on the last couple of years with this COVID stuff, due to availability, I wanted to go to a live sonar. I actually added a Garmin live scope system to my boat, and it all worked good. But, you know, when do you start determining what electronics do you start with? Let's go through the basics here. If you're searching for structure out there, what are you going to use? You're going to use your regular sonar? Are you going to use your down imaging, side imaging, your live? What do you start with?
So the answer is yes. You know, if I'm in really skinny water, I'll have my down scan and I'll have my side scan on, but 90% of the time when I'm in a search mode, I've got multiple screens. If you're ever to get in my boat, I've got different selections. I could just, you know, quick advance to my screen sets. But my favorite is to do the good old sonar up on top right corner, top left on my screen. I'll have my down scan, and then the bottom half of the screen horizontally, I'll have my side scan. And the reason I like to do the sonar and the down scan is the down scan, to me, it just really magnifies and lets me distinguish, you know, fish and bait and structure. It's just a great optics, and I'm always running my side scan, you know, usually about 60 foot out, you know, depending on the water I'm in. Of course, the deeper you are, the tougher side scan is, but I also use side scan to see what's suspended. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. You know, just because you've got that dark cone under the boat where you're basically going down to the bottom, you know, you're still marking, you know, suspended fish in your side scan. So,
well, you bet. You know, and that's kind of what I think a lot of us do is I think we're finding, you know, transition zones and finding where, you know, where it goes from mud to rock, you know, transition, or finding cribs and brush piles and any of that stuff out there. I think clearly when you're kind of in the search mode, going to the side scanner, side imaging is going to be your big benefit, because you can see out the side of the boat, and also you can GPS waypoint any of those spots that you do find too. And then once you find them, you can dial in on them by going over the top of them and looking at them with your regular sonar, or you know, like Humbert calls it, 2D sonar, or you can go in there with your down imaging or down scan, and you can look at it and take a fine look at it.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I get caught up in this, and I think the best thing I can recommend to people is, you know, when you're marking things, stay consistent. A rock pile is going to be this icon. You know, a crib is going to be this icon. You know, I think I have probably 1,200, 1,400 active waypoints on my 12, you know, and I can look at that and say, okay, that's a rock pile. That's a crib, you know. Just because you caught fish there, unless you're staying in a tournament, or unless you're staying in a period of a week or two fishing fish, and you want to see what they're going to do, get rid of those fish marks. You know, a lot of people just keep, you know, marking. Same thing with your trails. You know, after a while, it's just one big, you know, red blob on a hump. You don't need to know how you trolled it yesterday or a couple days ago. You know, just, you know, you want those to be is clear and succinct as you can, and also remember what you marked. I learned that the hard way. I was like, what the heck was that? So, and there's days, John, if I don't have a trip or after a trip, I'll go out and I'll just run around for an hour or two, you know, look for spots, mark spots, or while I'm trolling, to your point, you know, just because you're out there trolling and you're hoping you get a fish too, be aware of your electronics all the time. Take advantage of, you know, trolling at, you know, whatever, 1.5 to 3 miles an hour. You know, you're investigating the lake at the same time. So as you're trolling and you're looking for fish, mark spots that you either want to come back and look at or that you know are a particular structure, and make it a permanent mark.
Well, you know, and you mentioned a clutter with GPS waypoints, too. You ought to look at my machines. There's thousands of GPS waypoints. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I don't label anything, but I've always relied on my memory to, you know, sort it out. And, you know, I run into GPS waypoints that I'm, what is that for, you know?
I know. Because, you know, it's funny you say that, because I always like to banter in the boat when I'm guiding. I like the people to be comfortable and stuff, and you're always asking them about them. Their lives, and I'm telling them about mine. But I always joke, if I forget something, I said, you know, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. You know? And I'll be damned. I've learned to cleanse that. Actually, you know who taught me that was Ron Hunter with Lawrence.
Uh-huh.
He follows us around on the tournament trails, and wherever I'm at, Ron will come jump in my boat, he'll update me, or he'll give me a new trick, or, you know, he's the one that told me. He goes, what are all these marks? I said, I don't know, Ron. He said, if you don't know what they are, they're not important to you today, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, and that's the problem, is that as we get older, we tend to not remember stuff when you get too much stuff on there. Obviously, if you got a GPS waypoint off a point someplace or something, you kind of know what that is. I mean, unless you really have a mind lapse going away, you know, as you get older. But a lot of them you know, and I mean, most of the GPS waypoints that I have, I pretty much know what I'm looking for in that particular area after 40-some years on these waters up here. But it's still a good idea to go through them. And there are several programs you can get out there. If you can put them on a PC and your regular computer or your laptop, and you can sort them out if you got looking for something to do in the wintertime, pull them up, start labeling them of what they are and helping ones out. Yeah, there's a lot of different things. Like Hummingbird has Hummingbird PC. I don't know what Lowrance has. I know Garmin has a program, I think, out there too.
No, you're right. And, you know, another thing I use my electronics a lot for is, you know, a spot on a spot. You know, so you got a spot, what we call it, center bar and grindstone, or center over on Couturier, or, you know, Dugan's over on Round. They're big bars, you know, and they're not just a plate, a 9-inch plate that's on the bottom of the lake with the same contours going all around. You know, you're looking for, you know, maybe a little finger that comes off that bar, or maybe a cup that comes into that bar, you know, where the walleye or bass or other fish can use that as an ambush point, a rest point, whatever. So I like to mark the spots within the spot, you know, and know when I'm fishing too, you know, depending on the time of year, wind direction, you know. So I like to do that too. When I have structure, a big piece of structure, I break it down.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with fishing guide Bill Kutka. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales, and they have live bait, tackle, and fishing licenses too. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka.
You know, and you mentioned that on the spot. Virtually all of the manufacturers out there that I know out of the big three have a mapping option in the machines where you can actually go in. And you mentioned like Dugan's Bar. You want to, if you like that bar, you're fishing a lot, you can actually go out, drive back and forth in a crosshatch pattern on that bar and remap it and find all of those little fingers, because I don't care how accurate the mapping is and out there that comes with the machine or that you buy extra, it's not going to be as accurate right down to the fine detail as if you create your own map out there.
Right. Or, you know, you're on a bar or a long point and, you know, a lot of it is the same as far as the bottom. You know, maybe there's a few boulders in one area or a weed patch in one area that stays consistent. Mark those too, you know, because it's a different part of that structure that, again, either bait fish will find sanctuary by, or the predator will kind of hang by for an ambush point.
Well, here's another question, too. We talked about most of the different conventional modes of sonar out there. Now we've got this live sonar out there. I mean, you know, Lowrance has a version. Hummingbird has Hummingbird Mega Live. You've got the Live Scope from Garmin. When do you decide to use the live sonar? I mean, it's got its definite purposes.
Yep. So I use it a couple different ways. If I'm trolling, again, it's up on my trolling motor, I use it as kind of a periscope into what's out in front of me, especially for skinny water. You know, I'll put it in scout. And, you know, again, in my seminars, I talk a lot about trolling. And one of them is, you know, fish the fish you don't see, and I mean by down scan, or fish the skinny water. You know, a lot of fish will get up in that, and I'm talking walleye in particular here, walleye, they'll get up in that top 5, 10 foot in 60 foot of water, you know, and see what they're doing. But I will use my down scan to you know, do a lot of searching. A lot of times I'll just sit there with the main motor going, and I'll go along a weed edge, or I'll go along a contour, and I'll have that active target cocked at, let's say, you know, 45 degrees, or sometimes 90 degrees, and I just kind of like, as I'm not mapping, but as I'm cruising along that contour weed line, I'm looking where are the fish, bass, walleye, northern, it doesn't matter, where are the fish within this long 100-yard weed bed, and then mark them.
Yeah, well, a lot
and
of guys
come back and fish them, but of course the old traditional spot locking on fish and casting to them, you can't beat it. It's insane to watch the reaction of the fish to your bait, not only hitting it, but when it comes down into that little pot of fish. You know, a lot of times you'll see those, I call it blowing out. You'll see the fish or the bait drop into it. Those fish will blow away a little bit. And then the ones that are aggressive or curious are going to be a little bit, you know, quicker to come back to it. But you watch the reaction. I've had so many times, John, that I'll actually be there jigging, and I don't feel a darn thing on my rod. But by the reaction of what I'm seeing on my screen, I pop my rod, and I'll be darned if the fish isn't there.
I see the same thing with a lot of panfish. And, you know, and there's guys out there now that are basically what they're calling sharpshooting fish with the live sonar, where they actually find the fish, find a pot of fish with their side imaging or whatever sonar, and then they'll get off the side of them, and they'll, you know, look at the fish, watch the fish with the live sonar, and actually drop a drop shot or a jig or whatever right into the fish. And the fish will usually respond a lot of times by grabbing it. Panfish, it's an incredible tool for, I use it a lot for, you know, in the live scope system or live sonar, I'll use it a lot to position the boat just precisely on structure for panfish crappies. And I can get so close that I can actually set where, if you got a crib, a 4-foot crib, I can put it right underneath the side of the boat where people are fishing off both sides of the crib, off both sides of the boat. I mean, it's that precise as far as, you know, putting the boat where exactly where you want to position the boat to.
Come a long way from the old green box and paper graphs and triangulating with a tower and a dock and a house, you know, John. But, you know, we did it back then. But and there's days, I say this on the boat a lot, there's days I just want to unscrew those knobs and toss them over into the water because it's so frustrating because you have every tool available to you. You still got to make them bite.
Yeah, you know, I really started to get more and more and more into electronics when all the real estate boom happened up here on a lot of our lakes, because that bird bath I used to line up with the outhouse was gone, and there was no more markers, so you had to start using it. I started with Loran units and then went to GPS, but yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to have that birch tree lined up at the kitchen window.
Yeah. You bet. But, Bill, you know, it's really interesting talking to you about electronics here. I mean, if somebody's interested in getting you for a fishing guide or something, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I appreciate being on again. It's always good to talk to you. I've got a website, www.BillKutkaAngling.com. I also have a professional Facebook page, Bill Kutka Angling. And then, of course, good old text or phone at 715-699-4833.
Bill, it's been a pleasure having you on here again.
I sure appreciate it, John. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.